All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with Sandy Williams. And you know, Sandy, it wasn't that long ago. Let's see. 3 hours had flown by. It wasn't that long ago you and I were trying to do a show for 1 hour, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the time we would get started.
It was like putting 3 pounds in a 1 pound bag.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about it. Because right now, here's a subject that certainly could take an hour or more to discuss. And that's, you know, what role does our government play in protecting the citizens from being taken advantage of? And I've been taken advantage of, you know, read the small print.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that the government is there and should be there, and to the extent it isn't there, to protect the citizenry against problems in commerce. Some of them are the Food and Drug Administration to protect people against unsafe food and unsafe drugs, to protect people against...
But there aren't enough of them to cover
all of them. And to protect people against suggestions that drugs can do things they can't do. And then you go over into the general world of commerce, and you know there's a fraud being perpetrated probably every minute on the internet,
right,
with respect to these goofy ads that are being run. And in many ways, the marketplace is left to regulate itself, and that people need to be sufficiently educated to avoid fraud. Almost every state, certainly the state of Wisconsin, has a consumer fraud division in their attorney general's office that is supposed to take up complaints and pursue fraudulent activity. There's a great deal of difficulty, in the legal red tape that's involved with bringing a legal action and then succeeding in the legal action. Most of them settle with the alleged perpetrator, and the perpetrator pays less than the amount that they actually got out of it. So you were describing earlier in the show the TurboTax issue, and that they were sending $30 a head back to the people that were supposedly bilked out of, I think, $90 payments. So that was just a fraction of,
right,
of the amount that they got, that they realized from
it. And they didn't get penalized.
Well, they had to give up the fruits of what they did. Maybe the finding of it was maybe that it wasn't for, I don't know. You know, the problem with legal processes is that they get adjudicated. There's lots of fine print to be read in the laws as well, and you have to find fault, and you have to prove fault. So, you know, it's hard to protect people against all the potential frauds that could exist. You know, Elizabeth Warren was very concerned about fraud in the financial markets, and there was created in the office, and I can't remember if it was in the office of the Federal Reserve or it was in an office of a bank regulatory process that included the regulation of consumer finance, and that office was carried through and under Obama, and then it was removed by Trump, the view being that apparently the government shouldn't be involved in protecting consumers from financial fraud. So I mean, there's a bit of a partisan aspect to this. The Republicans have been very strongly anti-regulation, and a lot of the regulations that they've been against have been regulations which were there to protect Tom, Dick, and Mary from the abuses potentially of business. So, you know, my personal view is that business should be seeking adequate and appropriate regulation by the government so that there can be a great deal of faith in the marketplace, and that fair and honest participants in the marketplace can thrive without the cynical fears of the marketplace that they're being cheated. And so, you know, regulation is a good thing for markets, but unfortunately, the people who might be regulated have a fair amount of influence on K Street and with lobbyists, and a great deal of regulation has been lifted.
So, Sandy, Monday I want to delve deeper into this because about, you know, maybe 20 years ago I had a stent put in. And at the time, they were talking about these mesh stents that they were using.
Right.
And you find out later on that there's something wrong with the mesh implants and that they cause some other problems down the road. And so we had no control over what the doctor said. Well, you've got a blockage. We need to put this.
Well, I mean, the FDA had approved those stents. There has been follow-on class action litigation about those stents. And the legal process has tried to deal with the mistakes that were made in the process of either the approval or the manufacture or the design of those stents. But like I say, it's complicated. And I would say that the stent issue you've talked about is not so very directly a fraudulent conduct as so much as it was maybe a negligent
conduct. Okay, but negligence, you're an attorney. I'm not. Yeah. I'm an average person. But I think that if what was happened occurred and there was negligence and then there was a class action suit by attorneys,
yeah,
who then contacted people like myself and said, hey, we've got a class action suit. If you have a stent, contact us and we'll be able to do something to give you some
financial relief.
And then when all of this is done, they send you a check for $100 and the attorneys get all of the, I mean, all of those things, Sandy, just don't seem to be kosher. You know what I mean?
The world ain't so clear.
No, that's my point.
Yeah.
My point is, what about the citizens?
Well, I mean,
you know, I mean, I understand protecting the businesses and all of that, but at the end of all of it, what did Tom say? We, the people, are the government? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you know, now we're getting down to sort of, we'll go to law school on Monday.
That's what we need to have. That
I mean, you know, there's a difference between, because the government was involved with the stents. For whatever it's worth, whether the regulation was well carried out or not, the FDA approved the stents for the use for which they were proposed. The stent was probably installed in you for that same use, which was in lieu of a bypass.
Right.
It was, and it turned out that there was an engineering defect associated, or design defect associated with the stent and materials. And so, okay, now how do we solve for that? How do various places solve for that? And the government typically gets involved in processes which are criminal, and the civil problems, other than the civil wrongs that are carried out against the government, are normally pursued by private individuals in litigation. That's the way the American process breaks down.
So how is it possible that we as citizens are held accountable for whatever we do to affect someone else, and they can sue us?
Yeah.
And yet, well, you sued
the stent manufacturer. Well, I mean, why didn't they sue the FDA for the process of negligently approving the stents?
And not just that, but I mean, many instances like that. How come they can't be held?
Well, there is, again, law school class. But the government can be held accountable, but it's more complicated. They have a certain level of immunity. But their sovereign immunity is not complete. So, you know, there have been extensive and very expensive litigations pursued against the government to recover money. It's a much more difficult process.
So we've got to go, Sandy, but I want to make sure we go to 101, you know.
Yeah.
Because I've been worrying and thinking about these things for a long, long time. We got the right guy to address it. Got to go. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Have a great weekend. Go Bucks.
Yeah, you're wearing a Bucks hat. This guy that he bailed out on the Bucks about.
Hey, we got to go. We got to go. Sam, have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.